Standing so long, you may be seated. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Do you enjoy life? Do you enjoy life? You know, the Christian life was meant to be enjoyed. I've met a lot of Christians that seem to be enduring their Christian life. And what a shame that is. Jesus Christ, when He came in John 10, in verse 10, He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." How you doing today, brother? Oh, you don't want to know. You're not enjoying life. Oh, listen, I please don't think I'm being cold or callous. Everybody has burdens, and we all get to the point that sometimes where we get to the end of our rope. I understand that. I understand that. But do you really enjoy life? We have a story here, and it's such a strange story in the Bible. I remember hearing Brother Brian McBride say, if ever two people in the Bible were made for each other, it was Laban and Jacob, because they were cut out of the same cloth. Amen. Both of them were deceivers. Now, Jacob's name means deceiver. Amen. But Laban was no slouch either. And here we have this story of these two sisters married to the same person. By the way, if you'll read the Old Testament, you'll never find where God commends multiple marriage. Amen? You say, how do I know? Because the Lord Jesus said, one man, one woman from the beginning, that's the way it was supposed to be. Amen? Thank God for that. But here we run into this hiccup of not only two sisters, and that would be bad enough, but two sisters married to the same man. I want you to notice, if you would, several things just by way of an outline. I want you to notice life's cruelty in verse 17 of chapter 29. Life's cruelty. Look at it. It says there, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. One was attractive, one was not attractive. And by the way, it was neither one of their fault, one way or the other. Amen? But sometimes life is like that. Sometimes life is not fair. And could we say this? Sometimes life is cruel. For Leah, it was. She was not only tender-eyed, but then she was hated by her husband. You say, why is life cruel, Pastor? It's a curse of sin. It's from the curse of sin. Listen, God never intended life to be cruel, but man took matters into his own hands and thought he could decide between good and evil. And ever since then, we've had the cruelty of life, haven't we? The cruelty of life. We talked about it this morning in our Sunday school class. How cruel is it that a mother should have to bury a child? Amen? The widow of Nain had to bury her child, but she didn't. Amen. The Lord Jesus passed by. But life can be that way. And if we're not careful, we can get into this endless question of, well, why did this happen to me? And why did that happen to me? And how come my father wasn't there? How come my parents didn't serve the Lord? How come? Listen, life's cruelty is evident in our text. It's evident. I want you to notice something else, if you could. I want you to notice life's contradictions in verse 17. We mentioned already. It says Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was well, beautiful and well-favored. We see several contradictions about Rachel and Leah. We see, if you want to notice about Rachel, first of all, it says that she was beautiful. She was beautiful. Okay? But it also says in verse 31, look down at it, she was not only beautiful, but verse 31 says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was not only beautiful, but what else? Barren. Listen, in Bible days, especially in the book of Genesis, if you want to really get an understanding of the count, look at 1 Samuel and the story of Hannah. It was a shame for a woman not to be able to bear children. It was a shame. By the way, it's not that way. Sometimes God withholds the womb, and this was a case of it. But it was a shame. So here she was beautiful, but she was barren. In verse 1 of chapter 30, you see something else that she is. We'll talk about it a little bit later. It said, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Can I state the obvious? That it was not Jacob's fault? Amen? Leah was bearing children. Amen? She said, give me children, else I die. She was not only beautiful and barren, but she was bitter, wasn't she? She was bitter. You listen to me, bitterness starts small, ladies and gentlemen. But it can ruin your life. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Bitterness. She was beautiful and barren and bitter. But then we talk about Leah back in verse 17. We find out she was tender-eyed. If you look and read verses chapter 29, verse 32 through chapter 30, verse 21, you see not only was she tender-eyed, but she was touched by God. She had six sons and a daughter. Amen? Praise God for you mothers. Amen? I meant every word of what I said this morning. To go into the jaws of death, she did seven times. Bring children into this world. She was tender-eyed, she was touched, but something else, verse 20, of chapter 29. Look at it. It says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. She was tormented. You see, if you read beyond that, you find that her father did one of the most cruel things I could ever think of. What kind of father would do that? That's Laban. That's Laban in the Bible. But see, what we don't understand, we don't have a grasp of the marriage concept. They were veiled. I mean, they were veiled. They make burkas look like bikinis. Amen. I mean, they were completely veiled. And so she brought Leah unto Jacob, and Jacob lie with her. And all of a sudden he woke up in the morning, it was Leah. She was tormented. Her whole life, all she wanted was for Jacob to love her. What a contradiction that is between the two sisters. Amen. I want you to notice not only life's cruelty, life's contradictions, but life's consolation. You say, Pastor, what is the secret of enjoying life? What is it that Leah and Rachel just never really grasped? I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to go to several scriptures. Hebrews chapter 13. The secret of enjoying life can be summed up in one word. One word. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. A great verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Pastor, what is the secret of enjoying life? Contentment. Contentment. Oh, I don't mean being content where you are spiritually. Well, we ought not to be content with that. Amen? We ought to be wanting to grow. Grow more like Christ. Amen? I don't mean content about how many tracts you pass out. And maybe you passed out 100 this week, but I'll tell you what, how about 110? Amen? Not those kind of things. But I'm talking about good old-fashioned biblical contentment. Content with what God has given to you. I want to look at contentment's growth. Look at three things about contentment's growth. Go to Psalm 131. Psalm 131. A little Bible study tonight on contentment. Amen? Contentment. Psalm chapter 131, verse 1. Contentment grows out of humility and trust, first of all. Contentment grows out of humility and trust. Psalm 131, verse 1 says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or things that are too high for me. What is he saying here? He's humble before God. He's trusting God. Humility is old-fashioned, but so's this book. Amen? Well, we ought to be humble. Ought to be humble. God blesses people. I tell you, I've known people that could do extraordinary things. We talked about it a couple weeks ago when we talked about the excellency of God. I've heard people sing and just absolutely be able to crack the glass. And you ask them about it. You say, man, that blessed me, brother. And they say, praise the Lord. God gave me my voice. God's the one who gave me my talents. You listen, if you're going to be content, it's going to start with humility. Humility. God's blessed everyone in here. You have a job. You say, well, you don't know what my job is. My job is digging ditches. Well, God gave you the strength to dig ditches. You say, well, I'm an engineer. And well, listen, God gives you the sense to make all those calculations. And, well, I'm a mom, and I do homeschooling. You know, you listen to me. That is one whale of a job you do. Amen. And God gives you the strength. So you know what? We ought to be humble. Thank you, God. Thank you. Help us to be content. Contentment grows through humility and trust. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Contentment not only grows in humility and trust, but contentment grows by holding eternal values. Holding eternal values. By the way, the world mocks us for this. They mock us for holding eternal values. They say, what do you mean? Look at verse 19 of chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. The world says, get all you can all you get. God doesn't say that, does he? No, he doesn't. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And jump down to verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon or money. If your contentment is going to grow, it's going to be holding eternal values. Never forget, I used to do, Mrs. Jones, I used to do the counting for Emmanuel when I was in college, when the offerings would come in. I would count the envelopes and apply it to the accounts and all that. And I'll never forget Dr. Malone. Dr. Malone, I know he was not receiving this salary. I know he was not. Every week of the world, Dr. Malone, after he'd been retired and was just barely getting a pension and didn't care, he preached in these large conferences, they give him large love offerings. Every week of the world, Brother Bittinger, this is what he would give, $100 to tithe and $100 to missions. Let me just tell you something, Dr. Malone didn't make the kind of money where he ought to be able to give that. But I'll tell you what he did, he held eternal values. He held See, the souls of people in Costa Rica were important to Dr. Malone. So he gave. The old line is, when you talk about eternal values, we like to talk about it, but we talk about it in the missions conference. Put your money where your mouth is. Holding eternal values. That's contentment, amen. Contentment grows through humility and trust, through holding eternal values. And then go over to Philippians chapter 4, and I like this. Philippians chapter 4. It grows through humility and trust. It grows through holding eternal values. And thirdly, it grows through having God's perspective. Having God's perspective. Verse number 10 of Philippians, here's Paul talking to that giving church at Philippi. Verse 19 is for givers, by the way. You read the text. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why? Because they took care of the missionary. They took care of the Apostle Paul. Verse 10 says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care hath me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You see, Paul didn't have anything here but God. Amen? He had no possessions, but he had God. And you see, you'll be more content when you start having God's perspective that God has allowed you to be who you are. God has allowed you to be where you are. God has allowed you to be in the family that you're in. God has allowed you to have the job that you have. Or could we say it this way? Amen, Brother Jackson? To not have the job for a while. You see, God's still God. God's still sovereign. And what we need to do is we need to be content. That's the secret of enjoying life. Being content. Let me give you some barriers to contentment. We mentioned one of them already. Bitterness. Bitterness. You know, one of the most bitter characters in the Bible, and praise God he got right, was Esau. Listen, Jacob's a rat, amen? I hate to say that, but Jacob's a rat. He really is. Brother R.B. Ouellette has a whole series called I Hate Jacob. I think that's a funny series, amen? I Hate Jacob. And he said, basically, it's a mirror of us, amen? That's why we can't stand ourselves sometimes. But see, Jacob, Esau came in, he was faint from hunting, and he said, give me food or else I die. And Jacob said, hey, I'll give you this bowl of beans I got for your birthright. And that was such a huge thing, ladies and gentlemen. Double portion of the inheritance, the patriarch of the family. I tell you what, if Esau had not have done that, the Bible would have said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But Esau sold it away so easily. And then, of course, you know, Jacob came and stole his father's blessing. And Esau was bitter for 20 years. Can you imagine? Listen, I've seen it. I've seen bitterness on people's faces. They've held it for years. And you mention a person's name, Brother Joe, and their countenance changes. I can tell. I've seen it. Esau, of course, we remember the story. Jacob heard Esau's coming. What am I going to do now? He's going to kill me. The last thing he said was, I'm going to kill you. 20 years later. So he sets everything up, and like Jacob always does, he connives. He's got a plan. We put the handmaids toward the front and their kids, and then we put Leah next to them, and then we put Rachel back here, and I'll be right behind Rachel's kids. What happened? Esau came, saw Jacob, wept, embraced him. Jacob said, I've got a gift for you. I want to give you all these. And what did he say? He said, I have enough. See, contentment won out over bitterness. Do you listen to me? If you've got bitterness in your heart towards another brother or sister, forget about being content. It's just not going to happen. Not going to happen until you get it right. Bitterness is a barrier to contentment. Something else that's a barrier to contentment is covetousness. And I'll tell you, that's probably the biggest barrier in our day to contentment. Covetousness. By the way, that's still one of the commandments, ladies and gentlemen. Thou shalt not covet. Amen? Thou shalt not covet. We live in a day where you've got to keep up with the Smiths, and you got to have this gadget and that gadget and this modern technology and that and this car and that car. Never be content, because there's always something else. Amen? There's always something else. And what happens, you get yourself in such a bind, next thing you know, the devil will get you out of church through covetousness. Why? I got to work Sunday. I got to pay for all this stuff. Covetousness. Ask yourself, is there something that's a thing that I can't live without? By the way, this ought to be the only thing you can't live without. Amen? Right here, it's Bible. Covetousness is a barrier. Something else that's a barrier to contentment is materialism or worldliness. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Look at verse number... let's go down a little ways. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And isn't that our day? You know, there's a whole crowd called the health, wealth, and prosperity crowd that they'll tell you, if you just had more faith, you'd be as rich as you want. Can I tell them scripturally? That's not true. You listen to me. Paul is the greatest Christian on the pages of the Bible. What did he have? Nothing. Not a possession. He asked Timothy at the end of his life, please bring me the parchments and bring my cloak. That's all he had. That's all he had. Job had everything stripped away from him. Several people in the Bible with nothing but God. End of verse 5, it says, supposing gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let me give you just a few principles to be content. A few principles. Number one, strive to live with less rather than desiring more. Strive to live with less rather than desiring more. You know what you're doing? You're giving your, those of you that maybe have a bend towards covetousness, you're fasting yourself, spiritually speaking, from covetousness when you desire to live with less. Amen? Now, in our day, this, you want to talk about a paradox. Are you telling me to desiring to live with less? Are you saying I can't have a Cadillac, Pastor? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. If you want to have a Cadillac, that's fine. But desire to live with less rather than desiring to always have. It'll help you to be content. Amen? If you're going to build a muscle, you know what you got to do? You got to exercise a little. This is some exercises in contentment. Something else in contentment, give out of your abundance rather than accumulating more. Did Jesus say or not, it is more blessed to give than receive? He said that because it's true. And we don't like that, but it's true. You want to have a principle to be with content, give out of your abundance. And listen, we live in America, ladies and gentlemen. We have abundance. Abundance. Listen, if you come to my house, first of all, my wife will shoot me if you come to my house right now, amen? Because we have two children under two, and it's a little bit messy right now. But if you come to my house, you open up those cupboards, you know what you'll see? Food. As much as I want to eat, or as much as my wife wants to eat. See, we live in America. We have abundance. And you know what? God's trying to teach us contentment through giving. Through giving. By the way, I was so thrilled with the mission offering last week. $2,700 in 1 week came in for missions. That was in the bulletin today. Oh, praise God for that. Number three, third principle, relish what you have rather than resenting what you don't. This is so important to contentment. Relish what you have rather than resenting what you don't. You see, what happens is we go around and we make comparisons with other people. And the Bible says that we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we're not wise. You see, because you don't know what that person's going through to have that thing that you want so bad. Well, I wish I had that. I wish the Lord would bless me like that. I wish. And the next thing you know, you're just doing this all the time, and you don't realize what you have. Amen? You don't realize what you have. Listen, we have people in our church that have been married 45 and 50 and 55 and 60 years. My goodness. You know what I see in a marriage like that? Contentment. 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 They're not interested in going all over the place and having this and having that. They're interested in each other before God. Realize, relish what you have rather than resenting what you don't. One more. Realize that God is going to meet your needs. God promises to meet your needs. Listen, God will be no man's debtor. You say, well, I give to God and He never gave back to me. I don't think so. Because He's not going to be any man's debtor. Why would He start with you? Amen? Oh, how we ought to be content. The secret of enjoying life is contentment. You know, God's in love with you. God's accomplishing His purpose through you. God's going to meet your needs. Realize that He's God. He'll meet your needs. Be content with such things as you have. Father, bless us now. We thank You for Your Word. We pray that You